This episode is brought to you by Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Whether you're selling flaky salt or fine art prints, Shopify covers all your sales channels to simplify selling online and in person. Plus, they provide industry-leading tools and 24/7 support to ignite your growth. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. To sign up, visit shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase.
This week on Hysterical Hyenas, join our top panel of comedians as we take a...
Sergey, are you still in the bath?
Yes, I'm listening to my podcast.
Can I come in?
No! Oh!
Just need to grab the claw clippers. Don't worry, I'll cover my eyes.
What?
Whoa!
Carl, I'm gonna fall in.
Whoa! I'm still not looking.
And I'm not listening to my podcast.
Don't wombat it, meerkat it.
Simples.
Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
2023, you guys, and I'm winging it. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. That's the website, The Dork Forest, if you like a determiner. Dorkforest.com also works. JackieCation.com has all of my stand-up information. Like, it has videos, it has pictures, it has links to this podcast and to my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin. It has a merch store that has Dork Forest t-shirts. It has all of my stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs. So, that's what you know about websites. There's an opportunity because we're in the new year here that you can donate to the Dork Forest. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything really set up, though I understand you can set up on PayPal a monthly if you wanted to. You could donate and be of to support the show. This is the 17th season, the 17th year I've been putting this stuff out. It's free, but if you have money and would like to throw me some money, boy, howdy. There's a PayPal. There is at my email address, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me and tell me how much you're enjoying the show. You can also do Venmo if you'd like, which is just Jackie Cation, no hyphen, all one word, picture of this person, me. And then I think that's it. I think I have Zelle, but it's too complicated. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady, still in, fixing the audio all these years later. Give it up to Patrick Brady. That's what a lot of your donations support, by the way, because I like to share the wealth. And then Vilmos, he does the websites. And Mike Rickberg wrote and sang that song. Composed and sang that song with his wife now, Sarah. And at the end, he sings the Mexican Hat Dance, which is always fun. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to it. There's a band camp that has a bunch. It has like a stand-up storytelling album that was never released. It's there's also a bunch of live episodes that many of them are free. There were 200 episodes that were not pre-recorded, and I sort of culled through those, and I pulled like 17 of the best ones. There's an album collection of that, 17 hours of Dork Forest. If you run through all of the episodes, go to bandcamp.com, Dork Forest, or Google those words, and you'll find it. Anyway, there's probably more. I can't remember any of it, but you're doing great. Feel free to enjoy the show. Hey, Jackie Cation in my garage with my cousin, my long lost cousin. We're going to dork out about something, but is it going to be the thing that she said she was a dork about? We don't know. It's Amy Cation. Cation, right?
Yeah, Cation.
Cation. Why wouldn't it be? Because you got an extra syllable in at the Ellis Island. Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know who came through first. Whoever came, I think, you know, we just
the chicken, the egg. It's right. So Amy Cation at Madfoot. She doesn't have anything to plug. We're just cousins. We hung out one time in, I think it was New York, and for like a heartbeat. So the next time I'm anywhere, but your dorkdom is New Jersey canals, which is hilarious. Who are there more than one?
Well, there's one. Yes, there is more than one. There's the Morris Canal, and then there's the Raritan Canal. There may have been more than that, but the one I live in Morris County, I grew up here, And then I went away swearing I would never come back. I lived in Brooklyn for 20 years. And then I lived in San Francisco for 15 years. And
now you have returned.
Now I'm like, welcome back, Cotter.
Right. Has the town changed in the last 34 years? Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, well, first of all, the first thing I noticed is that like we arrived in June and there was like pride flags everywhere.
Oh,
definitely was not happening in New Jersey in the 80s.
That, like, nobody knew it was pre Will and Grace. Will and Grace had to soften up the nation for the fact that they were gay people. I do believe. Huh. Oh, do you think it was enlightenment?
I don't know. I was just thinking of there was Billy Crystal on soap.
Right. Right.
First one I can think of. Then there was like Matt on Melrose Place.
Okay.
Like for him, gay sex was just like a firm hug. And then that was as close as they got. And I can't think of any other. I think that's it. I think you're right. Until Will and Grace, there was no.
Right. Well, they tried to get it in. And that sounds dirty, but because
he really shoved it down. Right.
There's like,
why is that what people say about the gay stuff? If they're complaining about gay stuff, they always are complaining about being shoved down their throats.
Well, you can shove things down their throat in a het cis world as well, my friend, as I think we all know. There's a canal there. Yeah. Wait, before we get into it, let's talk about it. Let's tell people that we are cousins. We are cousins.
That we have your extremely dorky brother to thank for.
Oh my God.
Connecting us.
Yes. Russ Cation, who I think it's been established is so is Phil Cation, and Darla is not far behind the two of them. And myself, leader of the pack. So we're all pretty dorky, but Russ is a genealogy dork. And I don't know how he found you, but all I know is that your grandfather and my grandmother were first cousins. That's pretty close. They both grew up in a little town in Turkey, no longer there. What happened anyway? Chomaklu gone. So yeah,
I have the book here somewhere. Did you know there's a book?
Yeah, my dad loves that book. He's constantly like, the copy I got has a bunch of page numbers written on it. He's like, we're related to these people and these people and these people. And I'm like, Dad, it's a small village. We're related to all of them. And to some extent, the diaspora really did good work for the gene pool. So yeah. And then my brother also very proud of your dad.
Oh, well, my dad's pretty cool. My dad had a case, a legal case all the way to the Supreme Court. So Kayishian versus the Board of Regents, state of New York.
Yep. And my brother is famously, as what I like to call, the worst Republican, which makes him so much more likable, and has not voted Republican, as far as I could tell, in the last four elections. And famously said things like, well, it's not like she's it's not like she's a liberal. And you're like, just vote for her and don't tell me why. I don't care. And same with Obama, same with Clinton. My dad, of course, on Hillary Clinton famously said, well, she's not hot, but she's overqualified. And
that's
like,
that's a legacy. That's I want that on my gravestone.
and guess what? She's 72. She doesn't have to be hot, Dad. You could let that go.
I've rarely thought about any other president in terms of hotness.
Only the ladies. And but I will say this. So he was psyched about the fact that your dad, an English lit 12th night professor, Shakespeare professor. All of the nights. And and he went to because he didn't want to sign the loyalty oath. And it went to the Supreme Court, and he won because it was not constitutional. It was judged unconstitutional to make him sign that.
It was stupid because he was like, if I were like the, what you had to sign is that you weren't a communist and that you were not planning to infiltrate or indoctrinate your students. And wow. Yeah. And it was odd because if you were going to do that, you know, it's like, you'd be like,
you were probably already a liar.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh no, I can't sign this.
Right. Yeah. That's the funny. Yeah. That's the funny
wild
thing
about it. Right.
Right. So, because,
but he also said like he wouldn't have been able to do that 5 or 10 years earlier. Everything right. was too hot. So he happened to hit it at like, I think it was like 1962, 63.
Yep.
He and like, I think 7 or 8 other people like, but oh. his was the name on the check. So that's how.
Oh,
he,
there we go.
He signed the check. He delivered it. So it was his name. So nice.
Nice. So legacy.
It's every year he and I drive down to Rutgers where a friend of his, like he's a law professor and he's like, and what about this case? And he talks about the case and he goes, it's.
Oh, your dad gets to talk about it every year?
Yes. So this guy goes, what if the person in this case that you just read walked in the door? And then like.
Oh my God. Nobody's nerdier than college professors for real.
Oh, this guy is so amazing. We get, oh God, I love him so much.
That is awesome. Harry.
It's Harry. Yeah. So that's, so yes. So we're cousins and we have that.
Yep. And we have that in common. And so my, like my great aunt, Hi Ganoush. We're also related through my great aunt. Hi Ganoush, because you know my great aunt Florence. Florence and Opgar. Do you know Florence and Opgar?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got all.
We're related from any number of angles.
Yeah.
And the thing is my aunt Alice isn't my aunt. She's actually my dad's first cousin, and her mom was Hi Ganoush, and her mom's sister was Florence.
So there's another Amy Kayashian.
Yeah.
I'm Amy Lisa and she is Amy Hi Ganoush.
Oh, there we go. And Hi Ganoush translates loosely into Helen in English. But Noosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anoush means sweet in Armenian. And yeah. So yeah, we're related on several different angles.
So I'm Armenian and Jewish, which means like I have
You're a
like-
unicorn.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like a cockroach. I can't be cool. Yeah.
You can't.
I'm right. going to survive.
You're right. Yeah. There's any number of Nazis who want to get all up in your business. But
these German Nazis. What? Give me your Nazis. Your huddled masses of Nazis.
Exactly. I was going to say it was you walk through the Negro streets at dawn, the beat poet. Remember?
Oh no.
Someone's yelling it.
Allen Ginsberg. Ginsberg.
Nice.
He's from Paterson. Did you know that? He's from New Jersey.
Oh, is he?
New Jersey poet. Yeah. He did there's actually beautiful. The Paterson is a very urban. Well, it's a city. It's a little city. And it looks the way that you would expect a city in New Jersey to look. It's not beautiful.
Oh, that's too bad. It, yeah, yeah.
In the middle of it are these waterfalls, which are actually, I'm pretty sure, part of the canal system that I've been talking about.
So right.
Beautiful waterfall. And it has a huge mural of an Allen Ginsberg quote and like much love to Allen Ginsberg, who nicest man I think I've ever met in my life. Seriously,
what, you met Allen Ginsberg? Well, that's because he's from New Jersey. Have you met everybody
in New Jersey? I met him in New York because
there you go.
You know who's going? Fran Lebowitz is from my town.
Oh my God, Fran Lebowitz is hilarious, and yet she seems like the kind of person I wouldn't invite over because she's a bit of a pill. But I would want to go out to lunch with her several times. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I liked when she was in that thing that was on Netflix where she was interviewed by the guy
who loves her.
Yeah,
he loves her so much. He's done so many adorable documentaries.
Yeah.
And so many times he's just like, tell us another opinion. And she's full of them, which is great. I mean,
that's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd buy her. She's been eating out on opinions since the 60s. So Fred Lebowitz, very funny. And that is on, I feel like he's an Oscar-winning
Yeah, but he didn't get his Oscar for Forever.
Right. And he didn't get it for Fran Lebowitz. So, no, yeah, they are friends.
I wanted to do a piece of public art in Morristown that would be Fran Lebowitz, and it would be a statue of her in like that clear, you know, like a clear kind of, and then it would have LEDs in it, right? And so when you bumped into it, it would turn red.
Oh my God.
It's like a statue.
She would hate that.
I know.
Oh, that'd be the best. It's be the best. Scorsese.
She would hate it so much that she would love it. Scorsese, that's who it is.
That's it, right?
Scorsese.
I said Scorsese because I'm from Wisconsin and he is of Italian ancestry. Yes.
Do you guys really say bagel?
Here's the only bagel story. I say bagel with an E, weirdly enough. Yeah. Bagel, B-E. What do you say?
I say bagel.
Bagel.
There was a whole thing on Community where they said boggle, and apparently, like, that guy is from Wisconsin. That guy.
Here's the story of, but I will tell you the story of bagels and Wisconsin. Nancy Cation, my stepmother, had a bagel once when I was in high school, and I asked her what it was, and she said, "Oh, you wouldn't like it." That's the only story I have of bagels from prior to going to college and finding out they're delicious.
You did like, you wouldn't like this. That's so
you
funny.
You like bread that has cream cheese on it.
That has extra, yeah, it has extra crust.
Right.
My sister pulled that on my oldest sister pulled it on the next one down and told her, she was like, "What's that?" They were small and it
right.
Cheese and Sarah said, "That's white duties. Any people named Sarah can eat it. If anybody else eats it, they'll die." And Elizabeth didn't eat any kind of cheese until college.
Oh, that is there's a cruelty among children that cannot be matched. Darla told me one time that pussy willows were woven together to make silk. And I was probably 7 or 8 and she was 9 or 10. And I was like, "No, I think they come from worms." And she said, "What is more likely? That they weave together this plant to make cloth, or that some butthole of a worm is making cloth?"
She's got a point.
She had a point, and I fell for it. And she immediately went and told everybody that I was a sucker. And but it's the only thing that, I mean, I'm sure she still regrets it. I know I regret stealing some of her Halloween candy when I was about 11. So it burns a little bit. I feel bad. Anyway. So you are an artiste as well, right?
No, that's my sister, Emily. This is some of her art right there.
See,
happens
that's why we needed to do this, because this is Amy.
Get it all straight. Yeah. This is the dorkdom, right? Well, your brother was already on the show, right? But he was talking about like, what, your town or like the community center? One of your brothers was on your podcast. It was one of the funniest podcast episodes I've ever heard.
Well, Phil has been on several times. He's very excited to be on at all times. He's talked about fly fishing, hitchhiking, and Lord of the Rings. He wants to come back and talk about, I think, what was it? Oh, the Moonies. Because he was in the Moonies. Yeah. And
wait, in the Moonies?
Yeah. We had to kidnap and deprogram him.
Oh my God.
It was the 70s. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I saw an after school special about that.
That's right. And that's almost how we found out that he was in the Moonies, because he had just sort of fallen off the face of the earth, and he called one time and he was talking to Nancy Cation, the hero of this story. She recognized it from a Phil Donahue episode where she was like, "I think he's in the Unification Church is the Moonies." And then she found out who to call about getting him out. And my Aunt Alice, Florence and Opgar's sister, they paid for it to help him get out. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to listen to that episode.
I know I should get him. He's got some sort of terrible cold flu, not the COVID, I'm told. But he just texted me and I was like, I'm busy. But then Russ was on. Russ has been on, I think. Has he been on twice? No, he told me he was going to be on again, but he He's blown it off. So he wants to, but he's very busy. But who cares? So am I. But he was on, he did the Hallmark Christmas movies. And he showed spreadsheets on the YouTube. Oh, it's hilarious. He did Hallmark Christmas movies. And the following week, Jen Kirkman also did Hallmark Christmas
Amazing.
Movies. She wrote one and they made it.
Wow.
So, but Russ's was about essentially how much money they made and who directed them. And the spreadsheet was actors and directors and how much money they made.
They have to, they've been trying to do Jewish ones the last couple of years.
Oh.
Gay ones and Jewish ones. And they're terrible. They're
like, worse than the secular.
I gotta say, because it's like they have like one of them had this like family that was like, oh, we've got to pretend that we know about Christmas, so we've got to, I don't know anything about it. You can't grow up in America. I don't care what part of New York, what part of Brooklyn that you're living in, you're gonna know that there's 12 days of Christmas. You know all the songs because you sang them in public school,
because you've been to a gas station or a mall or a grocery store. You're gonna know the songs,
and you've had it
much like right, and you will throw up in tinsel. Well, that's too bad. I like the one. I don't like any of them, quite honestly, because they are there's no sexy times at all, first of all,
in a Christmas movie,
in the Hallmark Christmas movies, and they're usually so, like, there's nothing. I once talked to a woman who made them, who directed them, and I said, what is the B plot of a Hallmark Christmas movie? And if you like them, I'm psyched, and I would love to hear not you, but I mean just Rangers of the Dark Forest. I know people love them, and they're soothing. Like, some people think of it as ambient noise.
Yes.
And
kids are with slasher movies.
Oh, really?
Yes. And that's a not uncommon thing. There are lots of people who find them soothing because they are.
I actually have recently learned that because of an episode of The Dork Forest, where it's just like, it's somehow cathartic, and it just gets all of that sort of negative energy out of them, and they feel good about just sort of watching it, and now it's gone. Mm-hmm. And they find it kind of soothing. Yeah.
People with anxiety.
I have the same problem. I have the same thing with a romantic comedy. I'll watch a shitty romantic comedy 100 times, and they aren't shitty to me. I enjoy them. Hi, 2 weeks notice again.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Oh,
that's my favorite one.
Sandra Bullock.
Specifically that one, because, okay, so remember her parents, and they're at Coney Island. Okay.
Yep.
And the parents are on the other side of that, like a chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad is, he's
Robert Klein.
Mm-hmm. And he's very nice, and he's being very polite, and he's trying to talk it all out. And next to him is his tiny little wife, who I think was on the committee.
Famous actress whose name I didn't do stand up, so I don't remember her name. So sad.
He was improv, right? So she was from the improv world. So, oh, we don't know about them. Let's do that. Let's do that dorkdom, the argument between like stand ups and improvisers. But so he's talking like this and she's like this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So it was 100% my parents. 100. I screamed when I saw this. I was like, how do they know?
It's okay. So they're walking down the boardwalk together with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock and her parents, and Sandra Bullock's mom, that actress, says the line, I don't know how you sleep at night. And he says, I have one of those machines that sounds like the ocean. And Sandra Bullock says, I don't think you're helping yourself.
There's also this very sweet little detail where, so they're not a couple. They're not a couple.
You know, not a couple.
Together. They're not a couple. Who would see this coming? Who would see it coming? But they're so used to each other that when they get their food, they automatically do the thing that married people do, where they swap, right?
Yep, right. He's taking the beets off of her salad.
Yeah. She doesn't like it, right? Like me.
Guess what my dorkdom might be. This is I love this conversation forever. The other thing I love, So here's the thing about acting. Is so they're in the airplane and they're flying around New York, and you can see the Chrysler Building and you can see the Empire State Building, and there's clearly a green screen, right? I mean, they're just sitting in on a set and they're not actually looking at New York. And she goes, well, you know, you're part of that legacy. And he goes, and you know, you have to use your powers for good. He's like, if only I would. And what I love about a romantic comedy is that there's always some weird B plot, right? Whether it's a right wing message or a left wing message or just a secular, non-political, be a decent human being kind of message.
Remember those?
Right. They're in every single movie. Like, and I've told Rangers, if you haven't heard me say this before, listen to the backlog. It goes like this. Footloose, censorship is bad. Dirty Dancing, keep abortion legal. Blue Crush, true happiness is found through corporate sponsorship. Drumline is workaholism will will set you free. Like, literally, it's
about...
I love
Drumline so much. I love that movie. Oh, my God. I would watch it right now.
Oh, yeah. If it's on.
Let's put it on right now. Love it.
Yes. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a note to buy a copy of it because I'm going home to help a friend of mine with a hoarding problem that he accidentally ended up with. He rents out apartments. And so he moved a bunch of old people into assisted living and he took all their stuff. So he has dozens of DVD players. And so I could get him the Drumline DVD and he plays the drums and he might enjoy that. I wonder if he has a Blu-ray. I bet you he does.
He's got eight Blu-rays right now.
We're going to have a garage sale. That first, the in between, like the 4th to the 9th of June in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you guys, I'll be working his garage sale. He was like,
nobody's buying those DVD players.
Everything's going to be either a dollar or $5. So I think it could happen. It could happen.
All right.
And if it doesn't happen, I'll be taking him off to the Goodwill. And and then if he says there were four DVD players, I'm going to hand him $20. And I'm going to not tell him that I didn't sell them. I'm just going to bring all of that stuff.
So he doesn't listen to your podcast?
No. Oh, no. He listens to clips. This might get clipped out. Hey, Don, why don't you clip this out? That'd be awesome.
And then shove it down my throat.
Okay. So tell me about canals.
Okay. So remember, you had Chris Gethard on.
What was his dork to?
He was, I don't even remember what his, because he loves New Jersey. He is like a Jersey guy. He's from like West Orange. So when I moved back here, I was just trying to, when I moved to a place, I use pop culture to situate myself there. So like I moved to Brooklyn and I was like watching every movie is a Brooklyn movie. And when I got to San Francisco, I watched like Tales of the City again. And I started watching their baseball team. Like, I'm trying to get situated in this new place. So I came back to New Jersey and I was like, what happened? Why am I here? What did I do wrong? So I'm trying to have like a positive attitude about it. And Chris Gethard's podcast, New Jersey is the World, was a big part of me just embracing it. Just like be in the weird place and love the weird place.
Yeah.
And again, to situate myself, you know, I've already watched The Sopranos and honestly that's not my Jersey anyway.
Right.
I have this thing about canal boats that I got. There are kids' books called Angelina Ballerina. And one of them had this really gorgeous, it had Angelina Ballerina was on a canal boat with her grandparents. And it was all decorated really cool. And so because I had to read this book like 800 times in a period of like 2 years, I got like really curious about it. So I like looked, I was like, canal boats, art, canal boats, like black background flowers, canal boats, da da da. And I found out that this whole canal society. Like there's a world of people who lived in the canals that are very much like people who live in like caravans.
So they have like houseboats on the canal?
Yeah. Like, so people would have, the canal would be like for toting stuff back and forth. But then there was this whole like society that grew around it and had its own art. And you can trace the art all the way back. If she's yawning, you can trace, there's similarities in this like art to like all through Europe.
Because I'm fascinated. Yes.
That's what happens when I'm fascinated.
No, I was processing it through my, there's no defense. Keep
Don't
going.
Make excuses. Don't make
Just keep talking.
So and most of it's gone, you know, it wasn't something that people valued. And by the time people were recording stuff like this,
yeah,
you know, we're talking about like the 40s and the 30s and the, I don't know what happened to them during World War II, but like, you know.
A lot of canals were built in the like the early 1800s, like the 1820s, right?
Yes.
Is that when the New Jersey canals were built, to your knowledge?
Yes. So because I'm so crazy about this, like the artisans. Oh, do I have the book? It's right there. I have a book about it.
Oh, there you go.
Right. So this is the style of art, right? So I painted like our mailbox in this style. I'm just like,
okay.
You can see it looks kind of Russian, right?
Yeah, it looks a little Russian.
I'm sure it's like Romany, like plant, you know. Anyway, right. So then like you get to everywhere in New Jersey, you see like Morris Canal, like those little plaques everywhere. And I was like, well, what's up with that? Like,
yeah.
So I started just like, I'm looking into it. And yeah, there was this super highway in the early 1800s. And it went, you know, it met up with the Erie, it met up with the like the Hudson River.
Right.
And all the way down to the Delaware, Raritan River, or whatever there.
Okay.
And it went, it just like, you know.
It was just for moving stuff. Yeah.
It was for moving stuff because we didn't have, I mean, it was the railroads that killed it.
Right.
And then, you know, trucks, whatever, but
it's still, like, it was used long after. Yeah. And trucks but it was used for a long time. Is it not used very much right now?
Oh, it's gone. It's all gone. And that's what people, so I ended up joining
What did you join? Oh, like a canal memorial.
It's the New Jersey Historic Canal Society. And I have the newsletters up here. I have like, oh yeah, here's one. Here's one.
Right now, a new one. Well, there it is. On the level, the Canal Society of New Jersey.
And I read on these the DNR like, canal. Look at this. That's me. I'm literally reading it. Like, and I'm like, ooh, my new copy of the Canal Society.
This is amazing. Like what, like, Are they just because when you say the canal is gone, do you mean that they've filled it in and built tract housing?
It was this vital highway, and it was this like, and it went like, it powered like this mill that's in Boonton that made nails.
Okay.
And it would carry boats, and it would also like power mills and things like that. And there was this lock system because New Jersey is rather hilly, right?
Right.
You're actually looking, there's like a map that shows you just the locks and like pretty flat. And then you get to Morris County where I live, and it's like, doink, 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 doink.
up, like, down, and that's, up. Yeah.
I know. And I looked at it and I was like, that's why I didn't learn to ride a bike until I was seven. Like, it's impossible. It's like, you know, a sheer cliff.
Right. You will either run out of steam and stop caring, or you will kill yourself going downhill.
Going down the hill.
Yeah.
Definitely did that several times. So I'm dead.
Oh, so, I'm with a ghost, Amy Kayishian. And
you can't kill me. Ooh. I've been through. Oh no, sorry.
So what's a good,
I'm back. Wait, hold
what's
on.
What's a good article?
A good article?
Yeah, like what have you recently learned about the Morristown canal?
Well, I was just at a meeting, as it happens, of the Canal Society.
That's
these
awesome.
Meetings are the greatest thing you've ever been to. They're so amazing because everybody knows there's no dorkdom better than a dorkdom who doesn't take itself too seriously.
Right.
These are people who really, and they're not young. Actually, my husband was like, were you the youngest person there by like 30 years? And I was like, I feel like the youngest person there by 30 years. We're not, you know, Gen X. Right. You know,
yeah, it's hard to tell.
Turns out we did age. So yeah. So actually I'm probably almost as old as everybody in there, but I pretend I'm much younger.
Right. Okay. So how many people are in this?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Hundreds.
Okay. So how big was the meeting? The one you went to. It's a local chapter. Meeting. Yeah.
Well, let me think. Cause it's the Morris Canal. I think it's for all of Jersey. So maybe that makes more sense. But so we have, there's historians and then there's like amateur archaeologists. And like they were telling this story. Yeah. So in Booton, there was this building that just got raised.
Excavated or knocked down.
No. They knocked it down. They put, you know, condos there. New Jersey, the fucking condos in New Jersey, man.
She's just rubbing her face, just going,
they're taking
away our history of the nail factory. And you're like, but it's a real.
But it's very true.
You know, I once went to a herring museum in Northern Iceland, and it would,
I love about the herring
industry in Northern Iceland. And it was about how they were taking 1 to 4 million herring out of the North Atlantic every year for 40 years. And then one year the herring didn't show up.
Where'd they go?
Turns out they had overfished the fucking herring.
I didn't know that could happen. Oh my God. Right. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody knows that.
You'd taken like 100 million herring out of the sea. They were going to need to have some little bow chicka bow bow and make more herring. Because the Icelandic people were the only part of the people that were like, because also there were Norwegians and there were Germans who were like, no, this is we're also taking 2 million herring a year.
We want the herring.
Yeah, and there was actually sort of a battle between Iceland and Britain about that herring. And but I digress. Let's talk about the fascinating world of a nail factory.
I need to make my joke.
Okay.
It's like the Dust Bowl. It's like a wet Dust Bowl.
Yes, it was the wet Dust Bowl. They've overfished. They've overfarmed.
Yeah.
So it's back now. There's plenty of herring.
So the thing about, so this nail factory that was in Booton, there were several things that this mill did, but it made nails. And the reason I know that is that there's this one lady who's at these meetings and like somebody will be doing a presentation. There's always like a presentation. Like the last one I went to, it had like this one canal in Trenton, which is a terrible place. And this canal was like, but they showed you how the canal has become like the main thoroughfare.
Oh, okay.
So just like Canal Street in Manhattan, right? Like the vestiges of them.
Oh my God. Was Canal Street a canal?
Yeah, it was.
And then they filled it in and now it's a street.
Yes. Okay. And that's why it goes like this.
Okay. Because they were just digging.
They were like, it's already a street. Like it's already where everything goes and everything was built around it. So you just fill it in and then you have your street.
Okay.
But in Trenton, they did it. They did everything like, you know, nice. They built the canal. They made it nice. So, so they showed us where the, you know, and then it was actually, so over the years, we don't know what it looked like in the early days when it was bustling. And there was all this, like all these like big boats going back and forth, carrying everything. The only photos we have are like the really terrible later busted up old days. And he was describing like there was a picture of like everybody standing by the canal and like the kids going swimming, and he was like, what a bad idea, because
not swimming, not in the canal,
very bad idea, lots and lots of bad pollution supposed to that good pollution in there. But so that's why the canals got filled in, is because they were legitimately like a health hazard.
It sounds like a great place to grow mosquitoes.
Yeah. And, all of New Jersey is a great place to grow mosquitoes.
Yeah.
That's our main export.
So canals were shut down for health reasons, but they were also shut down because they figured out different ways to travel, to move.
Nobody gave a shit about the health reasons. It was, they were shut down. They got old and became disgusting because the railroads. right?
Because of disuse. Okay.
Yeah. So in the early 1910s, 1890s, 1910, we have photos of like these last vestiges. So we have, for instance, this photo of like the manager's house of this mill in Boonton, and that was what got knocked down recently. Like they tried to save it, but they couldn't get investors. And it's just this scrappy bunch of people who are just save little pieces of the canal here and there so that we can go look at it.
So, so my question is, so when does the, when do the hippie artists start moving in and decide to just, because it must be cheap because it's a health hazard. And that's what artists like. They like just a place to, that they can hang their hat for dirt cheap.
Sadly, that doesn't seem to have been a thing. And that's what's sort of like, that's what's troubling to me about it. Like I was asking, there's this one lady and she like, whoever's giving the presentation, about eight times during the presentation, she's going to go, excuse me. And she's going to have, and you could get annoyed by it or you could just listen because she always actually is right and has something interesting to say.
Oh, so she's not asking a question. She's adding information.
She's adding. And yes. She's like encyclopedic.
Okay. So yeah. She knows things. All right.
She knows things. She is.
You could be irritated or you could celebrate it.
Yeah. I choose to celebrate. She's hilarious.
Good for you.
So she, I know, like she was, here's an example. They were talking about the nail factory and she was like, it's very interesting because, you know, sometimes I like to just go to the library and look at the censuses for every year. And I'm like, oh,
you do?
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Right.
And she's like, and so I was noticing there were all these immigrants from the Midlands in England. And I was like, why the Midlands? Why the Midlands? Why the Midlands? And I finally tracked it down. And there were nail factories in the Midlands and they needed people who knew how to do that. So they all came to Boonton. So you've got like a particular, right?
And it's a skill set.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway. So blah, blah, blah. They tried to save this house where the manager lived and they took a bunch of pictures of it, very busted up, very terrible looking. Before they knocked it down, these like 900 year old people snuck onto the site. They like went under stuff and over stuff and they had their cameras and they had their we did like 20 feet and they're just like, they had a leaf blower. Like these are not archaeologists and it's not, they're like, what can we find? Oh, this is part of a lock. Oh, look at this. It's a thingy, you know,
old timey nails that were cut by hand.
And they're like, this is where this part of it went. And this is, so now we can see. So they take pictures and then they save as much stuff as they can. And then they get out of there and then it gets knocked down and condos go up.
Right. Right. Which is a tale as old as time. Yes.
Well, at least 200 years old. That was the oldest condo in New Jersey.
But the oldest condo in New Jersey. Why do you know that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But what if I did?
What if you did? What if you knew the history of condominiums? Right. Because where does the word condominium come from? And why? And who was the first haircut to decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell people. It'll be like they'll own their own home, but it's just four walls. And I'm going to talk them into giving me $350,000 for an apartment.
You know, that had to happen in New Jersey. That's a New Jersey. That is just the kind of scrappy.
That feels like an Armenian guy. It genuinely
it feels like an Urdel.
All right. So that's the Morris Canal and Boonton.
It goes all the way through. That's just the one that's closest to me with the most stuff. There's also like the Waterloo Society. Then that's a whole thing. And I'm going to be volunteering there this summer. Yeah. Sadly, that you don't get to dress up in old timey clothes.
You don't get to? Like, could you if you did, you wanted to?
I asked that and they said,
we can what?
We get t-shirts.
Oh, so you have to wear sort of a uniform.
Yeah. Well, like they were like, wouldn't you rather be in this great t-shirt? And I was like, and they were like, oh, there's this one woman who teaches, she does spinning and she's an outfit. So if I can, you know.
So, what year is this supposed to be? Like, what will you be talking about at, are you volunteering at the museum or?
The Waterloo is a historic town. And so there are several sites. So there's a canal. Oh. Right. So then, and it's like being a docent, like I tell people, you know.
Yeah.
Piece of a canal that used to be here. Imagine how it must have been different than it is now.
Right. It's the 19th century canal town, Waterloo Village.
Yes.
It's a restored 19th century canal town.
Right. It's any year in the 19th century.
In the 1800s. So what would be your, I have to ask, what would be your outfit? Like if you could do like New Jersey. Oh. In a canal, would it be a boater?
A boater.
Like a boat person? Would you want to be a canal?
Well, like, let's see what people are wearing here.
What are people wearing, right?
So they have a photo there of like a family that did live on the boat. And I was like looking at it, and it was a very hard scrabble life.
It was built in 1820. The architectural style was late Victorian, which is interesting because I don't know.
That's definitely not 1820.
Because that's not 1820, right? No. It was added to the National Register in 1977. And the boundaries were increased in 2015. And it's an open air museum in Allamuchy Mountain State Park. Allamuchy? Is that how you pronounce that?
Allamuchy.
Thank you. Allamuchy. Okay.
Allamuchy.
Come on, New Jersey. It's Allamuchy. Hey,
Yo.
How you doing?
How you doing? So I was trying to determine, I was like staring at one of these photos and they were like, look, you can see the house in the back, you know, you can see that house that we were talking about. It's in the back there. And then here's the sky and there's like over there. And I'm trying, and I'm like asking them like, okay, but here's what I'm here to find out. Like in England, they have these really, this very cool, like society that grew around. Like, and so was there that? And that same lady, she was like, people had to live on the boats. You can see that they live on the boat. That's their laundry. And I'm like,
oh,
because it was a boat that carried coal. That's disgusting.
Well, it's not going to look good is what I'm seeing. Now here's a picture.
Oh yeah. There you go.
There's a canal picture. Yeah. So if you go to YouTube, you can see me scrolling through Google Images, you guys. You could also do it. It's also an option for yourselves. Like they wore hats, Amy. They wore hats.
Well, look at, see, here's these guys. I don't know.
What okay.
They're doing some canal stuff and they look like
them. And they're wearing hats.
They're on a safari.
Right.
So apparently from what I can discern, and I'm still in the process of becoming one with this, you know.
Right. Because you'll have to go to classes and learn stuff so you could be the docent,
well,
right?
I asked them. I was like, can I please, like, in advance of this, I would like to do some research so I already have some information under my belt. And they were like, here's these three books that you can read. And I was like, I will read the books because I'm cool. And I
love a book.
Why not just
I love
do that instead of what I'm supposed to be doing? I do love a book.
It is a great work of void. There you go. So you're gonna, so you're gonna be a docent at the Waterloo. All right.
Yeah. But so I was asking that same lady, I was like, okay. And I was like, but was there a culture that grew around this? Was there like, did the canal people, you know, did they have a community? Did they have their own kind of food and dancing and decorating? Right. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, like, because in England, there was a very active, and before I could even finish the sentence, she turned to me with like fire coming out of her eyes. And she was like, don't tell me about English canal life. I know about it already. And I was like, damn.
It was like, but can we celebrate it together? Can I tell you what snippet I learned? And then you go down a freaking rabbit hole and tell me more? Because that's what you would have loved.
Yes.
Like if you would have said, so what I learned about this English canal life, which what did you learn? What did you want to tell her?
Well, I was just asking because of the you know, it's a legitimate culture that was lost.
Right. Okay.
I mourn that. I mourn that loss. I want to know all about it.
Right.
I want to know like what kind of like How did they get there? How did they develop this like kind of art, and why did it become like that, and what was it like, and then where did they go, and why did it stop, and when did they,
and where is all that stuff,
and
where can I go look at it?
Right.
So you were like, so if you could have said to that woman, there was a community, and they had all this stuff. There was an art. There was a lifestyle. There was a community that was created, and now it's gone. Do you know where it came from, or where it is now? And is it in the Met? Right. I mean, is there like some sort of weird cultural museum in the middle of the Midlands of England? And I bet you there is.
I'll bet there totally is. I cannot wait. I want to go there. And I also want to go to Blackpool, where all the carnival people would live when they were.
All right.
Places. Like people are going to, I want to go see like London.
Have you ever been to Baraboo, Wisconsin?
No. What's there?
A circus museum.
Ooh.
An extensive circus museum. I don't know why. I haven't been since I was a child. And my parents, Nancy was creeped out about it, so we didn't stay long. She was like, this is dumb.
It is.
And I was like, it could have not. I don't know who vilified clowns, but they have been vilified, and they're you can't like dolls either. So I wasn't a big doll person, and clowns are I'm okay with, but
I'm okay with clowns too. It's fun with people.
Mm-hmm. Maria Bamford told me that in her neighborhood, there's a new clown stage where clowns can perform. And at every level. And she said that she has been going to those shows on every Sunday. It's in Altadena, California. And there's not a clown college, but like a clown theater. And she has learned that one of the things that clowns learn, that they're supposed to make the audience cry. They're not.
I always cry at the clowns, especially like when you go to like Cirque du Soleil.
Oh yeah,
those
yeah.
Clowns, oh my God, those clowns rip my heart out.
Right,
like the Charlie Chaplin. Oh my God, I like sob, and I don't know what they're in a boat.
They're trained. They're trained.
They're just going. Yeah, and they're going off into the distance, and I'm crying.
Right, right.
Do
you have local? Do you have canal art? Like you showed me that art in the beginning, the art book. Bring that book back. Let's take a look at that book again. It was called Roses and Something.
Yeah, here we go. Paint Roses and Castles.
Paint Roses and Castles. And it's by someone named Young. Traditional what? What's it called?
Traditional narrowboat painting for homes and boats. Narrowboat. That's
narrowboat.
What they were called, right?
Okay. The boats so that the canals. Like, yeah.
So I was asking her straight up, was there a culture like that in the New Jersey canals? And she flat out said no. Well, this one guy said no. He said nobody lived on these boats because it was all big boats that were carrying stuff. And like, because in New York State, like they were actually like kind of like taxi cabs and buses. You could like hop on and then like hop off like a couple of, you know.
Right.
That's later. Easy. Right. And that sounds amazing. Right.
Right. Right.
So I was like, is there that? And the answer seems to be no, that there isn't like that kind of like culture around the canal. It was just like did stuff. It was,
right. Classic American. No, we're not going to encourage. But it could have turned into Cape Cod. It could have. There could have been.
See,
you know?
Here's the thing. New Jersey is kind of messed up like that because Lake Kapatkong was this very vital. It's a big, this big, big lake. Actually, that's where. Oh God. It's the source of the canal. So you So we have this, they dammed up these two big ponds and they created Lake Kapatkong, which is like a humongous lake, biggest lake in New Jersey.
How do you spell it?
H-O-P-A-T-C-O-N-G. Lake Kapatkong.
Kapatkong. All right.
Or if you're in Jersey, Kapatkong. And so that was like that in the like the early 1910s and the late 1800s, Lake Kapatkong had like there was a train line that went straight from the city, like right here. And a Babe Ruth would be there. And there was this like actress who lived there. And
oh, so it was a resorty kind of.
It was a resort like Lake George. Right. Like beautiful, beautiful places. All gone. All okay. Gone. Nobody thought to save them. This is New Jersey. They knocked them down and they put condos there. They knocked. There used to be like these beautiful ruins of these hotels, and okay. those are gone. And those are condos.
Oh my God!
So New Jersey, I don't know if it's grass or Sopranos.
Right. Or what's happened to make it all so? They went down in the census. I've looked it up, by the way. I've looked up Hapatcong. It's in Sussex County. It was incorporated in 1898 uh-huh. as Brooklyn. And then it was renamed Hapatcong in 1901. So 3 years later.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, who knew? Well, how could you? Three years.
So all those years I was saying I'm from Brooklyn.
Right. You're kind of from Brooklyn.
Maybe I wasn't lying.
Exactly. It's it has a rich history. And it borders Lake Hapatcong, a partially man-made lake that's now a source of much recreation and desirable real estate.
Yeah, so it's really expensive.
It's a community. It's 40 miles west of New York City. It began as a summer getaway for the wealthy New York City who primarily sought access to the lake. So was it before Atlantic City?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because it's an amusement park called Bertrand's Island, yeah. sprang up and was accessible via the lake trolley or by car through
Mount the lake Island trolley. Park. The lake trolley. Are you kidding me?
What is that?
I don't know. I want to go on it though. Come on. It's like there's lake taxis, there's water taxis.
Right.
There's a trolley that's on the lake. Come on.
Does that mean that it's a double decker taxi kind of boat?
Oh my God. I don't know, but it drives me nuts. I just, what was it like?
Right. Yeah. Well,
but that's just another example of like somehow, like, I love this state. I love it. I love it the way that.
Well, during the 1830s, the name of the community had been modified Brooklyn to match the spelling of the city in New York's Long Island, and Hapatcong was originally established as the town of Brooklyn in 1898 from portions of Byram Township. The borough of Hapatcong replaced Brooklyn. In 22, residents of Byram Cove, Northwood, and other areas west of the original land of the borough voted to leave Byram Township and join Hapatcong, leaving the borough with its current borders. While the origin of the borough's name is unclear, it's said to derive from Native American phrases, variously meaning stone over water or pipestone, among other variations. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds very pretty. Is there...
The point is, it had the aspect. And so, like, Lake George, they saved these places. And yeah. you can still go to them, right? Or, like, Mohonk Mountain House, still there.
Yeah.
Beautiful stone building that they've now built out from, right? It's gorgeous. And then in New Jersey, it's like, oh yeah, that could be nice. Knock it down, put some condos there.
We want particle board. Go particle board.
Yeah.
That is actually a drag. So, because that would have been cool.
Right next to where my junior high was, Freely Highs and Junior High, okay. there was an insane asylum called Greystone.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful building. It was still actually that's where Woody Guthrie full of died.
Oh, in Greystone?
Yeah, because he had this Huntington's disease and it was like you lost control of like your motors. I don't know why that was where they put him, but that's where he was. And
was Woody Guthrie from New Jersey?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But Arlo Guthrie is from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. So
Brooklyn it's Cowboy.
Just 40 minutes. Brooklyn Cowboy. That's funny.
That's the name of his albums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I wouldn't know. Sadly. It's a musical fun fact. Details, they're hard for me. So the canals, you would like to know more about history. You have 4 books. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, I've got way more than 4 books.
I was gonna say you should have more than 4 books.
Andy. Yeah, like
what's your favorite one?
Sepia toned. Probably the sepia toned one that is, that you get like at the drugstore. I don't have it here.
Okay.
Of course, I couldn't find it in advance of this. I've got
right.
You know, because I've also been trying to research the. I have this lunatic idea that maybe the Underground Railroad followed the canal. I don't know.
Oh. Like, maybe because like, 1820 built, and then it had to fall. It had to go somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You think about Huckleberry Finn and Jim. They were on a river. They were on a river, which just seems to be a kind of a quicker way to get away from things. Get on a boat, follow the current.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I would get on a boat.
Do you like boating in general? Oh, no. Well, that's
not at all. I mean, if somebody has a boat, I'll go on it. But I'm not going to like have one.
No, you can't have a boat. You have to be Rockefeller to have a boat, or it has to be the only thing you have.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, I want a horse, or I want a boat.
Yeah. You're going to get one of those things.
I want a snowmobile. Yeah. You know, I mean, like there's things that people want, and then they save up and they get a boat or a snowmobile or a horse, and that's what they have.
And then you have the upkeep, and I can't even keep, like, look, my house is a mess. What am I going to do with a boat?
It looks okay from here. Nice work. That's looks all right.
I tilted it.
Nice angle. Nice angle. Yeah. It's a tidy angle.
Look at my, oh no.
Oh, she leaned. She leaned.
Oh, it's my craft area. Don't
big
look
reveal.
I can't even get to my sewing machine. Yeah. So like I'm interested in the canals. I'm interested in getting from one place to another. I'm interested in like the society's rise and this culture's rise and fall. But I'm also in love with all the people in this society.
Like, oh, right.
They're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing. Some of them are like, we know this is weird and we just like it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. They're self-aware.
Yeah.
This is their dorkdom. And they're like, I like it.
Totally into it. Yeah. Like at the last one I went to, I was with this couple. They're both named Bobby, like Bobby with an I and Bobby with a Y. And they were like, you know, and I was like, oh God, like, what am I going to, you know, and they were like kind of hip. They were like kind of hip. Yeah. And then like, it comes out that the guy went to Woodstock.
Okay. So
Bobby's the male Bobby went to Woodstock. Right.
Sure.
We all have like diverse backgrounds.
Well, and you're now on the East Coast. Like my brother, Terry, tried to go to Woodstock, but he was in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He made it as far as Ohio. He was 14. So they sent him home. So couldn't happen. And he was a mess. But then he found the Jesus, and now he's sort of a sanctimonious mess. But in between it all, he kept a job for 45 years. So there's that. Have you ever, I digress, it's because you're my cousin, and I want to tell you things about the family.
I know. There's a lot to tell.
Yeah. Amy Cayetian. That's right.
Four syllables. You know what's crazy,
that's
Jackie?
Awesome.
I got married, and there's no sons in my family, so I was like, I don't want to give up my name. There's not going to be a lot more of these.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Cousins didn't have kids.
I have friends from Hawaii who insisted on keep their maiden name.
Yeah,
because of those. Right. Well, yeah, right. Because name, your dad's name.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to give that up.
Yeah. Don't give it up. But the kids
my kids have it, which is very unusual. A lot of women keep their name, but the kids always have the guy's name. And I can't tell you how many times, I know you know this trick, where you see the name and you go, oh, are you Armenian?
Yeah.
Oh, are you Armenian? And like, it's going to be yes, or it's going to be no, I'm Persian, or it's going to be the really uncomfortable one, which is, that's my dad's name. I haven't seen him in 30 years. And I don't want somebody to come out of me and be my child and then be named after some guy I haven't seen in 30 years, who I didn't even like in the first place. I just happen to have kids with them.
Right.
Yeah. So they have my name. My poor husband, he's like the only Hauser in the house.
Yeah.
And so
he's a good sport.
A lot more Cayetians. There's a bunch more Cayetians that I created.
There you go. Cayetians are created. You'll be happy to know that my brother Phil was pretty psyched that my nephew Salmon's, his son's middle name is Cayetian. So because Salmon's last name isn't Cayetian because of blended families and all these things, but whatever, who cares? There's the jackass gene will not be running out anytime soon because all of my brothers, they're breeding like bunny rabbits, and then their kids are also breeding like bunny rabbits. So there's plenty of, and there's 8 billion people on the planet. It'll be fine. So, but good for us. Anyway, here's my last question because it has been an hour. I know it goes by very quickly because you're talking about something you like. And plus I took the first 20 minutes to talk about how we're related. Anyway, so.
Because that's the, when you go to movies, do you stay through the credits to
technician to look for technicians?
Yeah.
And so my father always said, oh, technician, he's Armenian. And I was like, that was funny. Never. got a laugh from you. My dad said,
I mean, I make my kids sit there until we find an Armenian in the credits.
Oh, which is, I mean, if you were in Los Angeles, there'd be,
yeah, I know, it's not
you're looking
tough.
To not find an Armenian.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're surrounded by Armenians and people are like, oh, do you live in Glendale? And I was like, oh no, we've spread out. They're everywhere. I'm in Van Nuys. They're on all sides
like
of me.
Off the boat ones. And then there's like
every boat came every 30 years. Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of East Coast Armenians are from the Turkish genocide. Right.
Yes.
So that was us. And because our grandparents were all from Çomaklu, you guys. Anyway, so
the book, where's the book? I can't.
Where's
believe
the Çomaklu book? And then. That like when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was told by the Armenians in Wisconsin to beware of the Beirutsi Armenians.
Yeah, I got a bunch of those in my family.
Right. And I was like, but 20 years later, all in the same assholes who don't like immigrants said, oh, beware of the Yerevan Armenians,
right.
The Hayastan Armenians. The new ones, and you're like,
the greenhorns.
Well, the thing is every first generation of every immigrant in the whole wide world, you got to be scrappy. You got to be scrappy. And some of that scrappiness is dirtball. And it doesn't mean it's going to be, you got to give everybody a generation of milk, my friends. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fine.
Like in Hamilton, immigrants.
Immigrants. Yes.
Get the job done.
Get the job done.
Wait, you had a last question and I
do.
I and saw it coming and I'm just like bobbing and weaving because I don't want to
the
stop.
The Titanic. It's about the ocean cruisers. What do you have any interest in the culture of those rich people who used to go back and forth on those ocean cruisers?
No. No.
That will be a different dark forest for a different person.
Somebody else can talk about that. Like I go and I look at the pictures of the Titanic and I'm like, okay, it sank.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Titanic was an example. There were other ones that were nicer or almost as nice or something or nicer after. Amy.
Yes, Jackie.
Sheehan. We have talked for an hour and I would like to thank you for that hour.
Thank you.
And I would like to say to the Rangers of the world, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?